Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, so it is just you and me then?
Yep.
Be the best show we've recorded this year.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
Yeah, what's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. We are the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and on this episode, you get a special treat, a combination that I don't know if we've done in podcast history. It is just Jeff and James. It's the, well, Jason's a J, so it's the J and J show, which is better than the Jessley show, I think.
Maybe.
So if it was, but it, actually, if it was me and Wesley, it would also be Jessley. And if it was Jason and Wesley, it would be Jessley.
Or Wason.
Wason. Wef. Weffrey. And Waynes. It depends who hosts. The host would be the first. So like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
All right. So yeah, we are here. It looks like Wesley has the day off. And Jason is going to be going to the Pelicans game tonight.
Quite an important game. Yeah, if they win, if they win tonight, they're the seventh seed. If they lose, then they host the winner of the Golden State Sacramento game on Friday to become the eighth seed.
They lost.
Win on Friday, then they're going to be in a seven-game series against Oklahoma City.
Like the Saints went 13-3 3 years in a row and were only the one seed once.
Classic. Oh,
it's taken us. Taking us back to days of sadness.
To 1992, I believe. We also went 12-4 that year, or 11-5, and San Francisco went one win more. And I think it was like 91. It was like 2 years, both of those years. It was like as good as our record was. And there was one where we were 12-4 and they went fucking, or we were, I don't know, if we were 13-3. No, I don't know. We were 30. But yeah, it's one of those things where no matter how good we are, there's always San Francisco or someone that just has a little bit of a better record.
Yeah. Like, back then, it was always the 49ers, wasn't it?
It was back then. I mean, it wasn't Atlanta. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Or the Rams in the early 90s.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
So one thing we do need to talk about is the live stream draft night party, which has become a Dome Patrol annual tradition,
Not an anal tradition.
That's a different party. That's a different podcast. Yeah.
It is. I believe this is our fifth year of doing it.
I was going to say, when I was updating the graphics, I found one that we had used a while back, and it was third annual, and that one, that could have been 2 years ago. So yeah, I think this is our fifth year doing the draft night party.
Yeah, and we are still the first Saints podcast that did a live stream for the first round of the draft.
Are we the first Saints podcast to ever do a live stream? Because remember, we did a live streams way back
when.
Yeah, so it'll be curious if anybody like tunes in, because we don't stream regularly, right? So that's the cure. You know, in order to get people to watch a live stream, you typically have to live stream.
Yeah. It has to be more than once a year.
Right. Well, we do twice a year, right? The pre-season tailgate party, we didn't live stream last year, did we? I think we just recorded it. I don't remember.
I can't remember
we typically stream both.
We all drank a lot. So, in all seriousness, though, it is by far my favorite show of the year.
Yeah.
There have been some absolutely classic moments that have taken place, usually involving Jason and the draft pick that we've made. But yeah, there's been
a couple. He gets his number up there. It's a throwback to the old Dome Patrol days where we would get a high drunk scale numbers by the time the Saints, especially when Sean Payton was coaching and Drew Brees was playing, we'd have a late, late pick. So
yes.
By the time the Saints picked. Now this year, shit, we might be on our second drink before we get
Well, pick 14. No, we'd be way past two drinks by pick 14. We'll have to be.
We should be good podcasters and start drinking at least an hour and a half before the draft.
Well, considering I'm in the future, I can probably start drinking a lot sooner than you can.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could come on blitz.
It's a midnight start for me. So
so it's a 6 o'clock p.m. start for us.
Actually, I think it might be a 1 a.m. start.
Yeah.
The draft might actually start at 1 a.m. So,
yeah.
So I'm not in work.
Right?
Yeah. No. Definitely.
I'm going to do a half day Thursday and I'm going to take off Friday as well. No kids, no wife. I'm home alone that week, night. Yeah.
This is going to get.
So it'll be good.
Anything could happen.
Right. So for any new listeners who are unfamiliar with the way we do things, so typically we will stream on like Facebook, and I'm going to see if we can't simulcast it to you, like stream on YouTube and Facebook at the same time. And that way, if anybody catches us in either place, but definitely Facebook, that's what we'll promote because that's what we've historically done. And that's where the most people follow us. But what we have typically done is if there's anybody in chat who's a longtime listener, especially those of you who play Pick'ems, so we kind of know you, we know who you are, we might just pull you in out of chat into the actual Zoom call, and then you can be on the live stream and be on the podcast if we don't edit you out, because we do have to edit this. I think typically this is, what, a 3-hour stream? And we edited it.
Closer to 4 hours, I think it ends up being, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, that'll be published as a couple of different episodes. So typically we do the reaction to the pick as one episode, and then we'll do maybe some highlights for another episode, and then some lowlights for another episode. And then we have just junk families. For those of you who donate on Patreon.
Needless to say, the later it goes, the more incoherent we tend to be.
And irrational.
On these live streams where we're drinking, there have been some pretty spectacular fallouts between podcast members.
I mean, that's the whole beauty of the show, right? Is that we're friends and we hang out. And when friends get drunk together, sometimes they yell at each other.
Yeah, they do.
James, you ignorant slut. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, and if you, especially if you disagree with how to feel about the pick, and we do have that all over the board. Like we do know Jason's not gonna like the pick, right? That's if you put your bingo card, you want, like, that's the center free square. Jason doesn't like the pick.
Yeah, it's guaranteed that he won't like it.
Yeah, and then I predict Wesley will convince himself to like the pick and try to, you know what I mean? Like, even if he doesn't like it, he's the optimist, right? He wants it to work out. So he's going to be the guy who, like, let's believe that it's going to work. So I think he's going to like it. James, I think between you and me, it'll be, we're a little bit more where, like, I'll wait and see, and I'll listen to the pros, cons, and then decide how to, I'll probably land by the end of the night excited about it. Unless Jason's negative attitude actually convinces me to not be excited about it.
Negative attitude? What are you talking about?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
As soon as the pick's made, I'll go and find a YouTube video somewhere, and I'll be convinced that it's the best draft pick that we could have made, and we're going to win 13 games again, because that's just what I do.
Yeah, 13 games.
As soon as the pick is made, I will fall off my chair, a la Peyton Turner.
Yeah, it'll be curious, because, like, this is so going in this year. Is it different than the last couple of years? Like, last couple of years, we were kind of like, there's two or three positions where it's like, we've absolutely critically got to plug somebody in to save the team in that position, which is unfair to do to a rookie. But I don't know. I feel like this year, it's kind of a best available based on what they've done in the offseason so far? Or do you feel like, I mean, besides offensive line, maybe?
I think it's offensive line.
I think it's got to be an offensive lineman. I think it's got to be. The only way it isn't is if the top three, maybe four, are gone by the time we pick at 14. Then it might be a skill position, somebody who can catch the ball. But it's I think it's got to be an offensive lineman.
Defensive end, are you happy with what they did? Who they signed?
Chase Young. Signed Chase Young, remember.
Yeah, with a broken neck.
With a broken neck. Yeah, I mean, we could do with some help at defensive tackle, but I don't think there's anybody worthy of a first-round pick that we might be able to get.
Until the Saints pick. Then you'll see a guy worthy of a first-round pick.
I said worthy.
He's worthy in some people's eyes, Mickey Loomis.
His own eyes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's got to be an offensive. It's got to be a left tackle, because that is a glaring need. We don't have a starting left tackle on the roster.
We might not have a starting right tackle.
So did y'all see this article?
Still on the roster at the moment.
Still on the roster at the moment. That's why I said might.
Yeah.
Did y'all see that article on Saints News Network that the Saints have a history of acquiring NFL or acquiring players with NFL bloodlines, notably like Cam Jordan, Mark Ingram, Michael Thomas, and Caden Ellis? It's worth noting the Saints have never acquired a player whose bloodline was directly attached to them, which is good because our bloodlines aren't strong. But apparently this article goes on to say there's an edge rusher, Jonah Ellis, who's the younger brother of Caden Ellis.
I've done a lot of mock drafts.
And he comes from
seen that name.
Utah. He's quickly carved out his name at Utah. After quiet 2021, that's probably why. He'd have 3 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, being moved from linebacker to a stand-up rush end, switch that to a breakout campaign last year. 12 sacks and 16 stops for a loss with the Utes, both second in the Pac-12 and led All-American honors. Agile, underrated power, initial contact. Yeah.
Would he sounds like
Ellis on the team?
He sounds like a good fifth round pick by the Saints.
I'm not saying like we're gonna be like talking about him Thursday night, but it's possible.
I guess anything's possible with this organization.
Also, be good to talk about like he comes from the Utes. The what? The Utes? The what? The what? You know what movie that's from? The what? I'm sorry, did you say Utes?
I'm lost. The Utes of America.
Another line from that movie has to do with how long it takes to cook grits, and no self-respecting Southerner would cook instant grits.
I feel like I saw that recently.
Did you? Well, it's from the 90s. Joe Pesci. Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. I did see that recently for the first time.
My cousin Vinny.
Renee was begging me to watch that, and finally I did a couple months ago.
Okay. Did it hold up?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, very good. All right. We're just talking about draft night, Jason, and kind of looking back on draft night live stream history, reminiscing or really kind of predicting is where we were right now, is like how each of us are going to respond to the pick. And so we knew you're not going to like it. Wesley's going to hype it. James is going to weigh pros and cons.
And then I'll
start out by loving it, and then I won't like it, and then I'll love it again.
Well, it's interesting because I guess outside of when we moved up to get Olave and we all liked it at the time, but we're so over most of our live draft streams, we haven't picked until the early to mid 20s. So we've had several hours to get those drinks flowing. Now we're only at 14. So it's only going to be maybe 2 hours if you don't count pregame.
Well, that's what James is planning on drinking for 12 hours before the draft.
Okay. But he's going to take a nap beforehand and then sober up and then start drinking again.
I don't know.
No, I'm going to take a nap until 11 o'clock my time and then drink for a couple of hours before it starts.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, I'll be drinking. I don't know what I'm going to drink, but I am going to the Zurich the next day. So not that that stopped me before, because it's always kind of happen. We have the draft on Friday, and then I go to show up hungover to the Zurich on Friday, and I'm like, where's my Bloody Mary bar, damn it?
I did get a what's the vodka that comes in a skull, glass skull?
That's the Dan Aykroyd one.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Dan Aykroyd vodka.
Okay, so I got it in the mail today, actually, as a gift from a vendor. So I will be drinking vodka out of a skull for the live stream draft party.
Straight vodka? That's pretty bold.
I mean, I'll pour it out of the skull into a cup, but I'll
put a cup the skull... Is the cup shaped like a skull?
No, but it will be a Saints cup. And I will show you the skull as we spend a segment talking about CTE and player safety.
Ah, you know, I actually have two shot glasses that are shaped like skulls.
Oh, really?
Should have let you have one.
Yeah.
Could have taken a shot. You could have really drank vodka out of a skull.
Yeah, well, I could go out and kill an animal, hollow out the skull like a Viking. But we're not a Viking podcast, so I'll stick with cups.
Yeah, that'd be a bit extreme.
A little bit.
All right. So...
I'm just thinking back to some classic moments, and I think one of the ones that stands out for me when we're doing the live stream was when we traded up for Olave. And we were all just sat there happily chatting away with three picks away. And then all of a sudden it popped up that the Saints were on the clock. And we all just went, look.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like interrupting. And we had the like ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm. You got that sound clip ready?
Start off with good intentions.
That kind of gets me in draft mood now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got time.
See, the thing is, though, with that is you start off on the money with that sound clip, and as soon as the pick is in, you press the button. But then by about pick 7 or 8, we're having to tell you that the pick is in and it's been announced, and then you press it, and it's just, yeah, the timing goes all off. Oh, so, surprise, Jason, we're doing a mock draft now.
Oh,
it's your pick, Jason.
Y'all sucking me in. Y'all tricked me into coming on.
Well, I mean, part of it is, yeah, like if you're that's the other thing, Jason. Are you going to watch it on TV?
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Well, who was it that has the problem every year about like the when we talk about something versus not, because the delay on the TV and they don't want to know the pick and they don't want to talk about something? Remember?
I think maybe it's just James's broadcast for some reason is before all of ours, so he gets it before we do. How the fuck does that happen?
Yeah,
it's you though, Jason, where you're like, I don't want anybody to say the pick until Roger Goodell or somebody announce it on my TV screen.
It's tipping the pick when people announce it on Twitter before it's being announced.
Yeah, that's why I had to unfollow all those people on Twitter that did
tipping
that.
Tipping the pick, that I get, but as far as like...
I guess it depends how you watch it. If you're watching it on a stream,
when the information exists in the universe is when it's okay to know it.
But I'm focused on the live stream and don't have my phone up the whole time, so it's not known to me.
Well, that's fine, but isn't the part of the value of our listeners to like, you want to watch the live stream because we will announce the pick before ESPN or NFL Network. Like, we're going to announce it early because only to our Patreon subscribers. Everybody else who's watching so if you're a Patreon subscriber and you're watching the live stream, you'll get the pick early, but everybody else will get a later.
You also might get some dong shots.
The subscribers or not?
Yeah. We haven't figured that out yet.
Depends if they're lucky or not.
You get a moon shot. I got a quick random question. James, did you get the eclipse where you are?
No.
Or is that just for the US?
No, it was wrong side of the world for us.
Okay, I figured it out there. It was nighttime. You had an eclipse.
it was still daylight here, but no, we didn't see any of it.
America, fuck yeah.
We had one about 16, 17 years ago, I think was the last time we had a near total eclipse in the UK. And as normal, it was cloudy, so you couldn't really see. Well, I suppose those are the best conditions, really. You don't want it bright sunshine. You can't look at it, can you, otherwise?
Yeah. Unless you get the special glasses.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Well, yeah.
I remember, third grade, we had that near total eclipse, and we did the shoebox thing. But I also remember being outside for it, and it was just, a shady day. Like, it wasn't,
it was a little darker
than shade. It wasn't night. But it was like a dark shade. And it was like, okay, who cares? And it was almost, it's funny how the world, NBC did a whole special, for at 2 o'clock, tune in to NBC for the world event of the sun's going to be blocked. And I'm in all the school, my kid's school sent a message out a couple of days before that was like, due to security concerns that we will, if your kid doesn't go to school, this is a high school, by the way, not a grade school, but if your kid doesn't go to school, it'll be an excused absence if you're concerned about the safety of your child during the near total eclipse. I'm sitting here thinking, have we gone that far backwards as a society that we're the primitive people? When the sun gets blocked, we're worried, we've angered the gods, we're scared of this eclipse. It's we're turning it into this major event that we're so scared of. And it's it's just the moon passing between us.
If the world was going to end, right, just say, for instance, it wouldn't matter if they were at school or at home, would it?
Yeah. I get that you want to hype it for science. Right. But,
I think you're right. We have gone that far backward as a society.
Yes, we have. no lies there. Yeah, what safety are we worried about?
I know, right? Are you worried about am I supposed to be worried that my kid's gonna be stupid and stare at the sun while at school but if he's in my possession, I'll cover his eyes? Or am I worried about the safety that when it gets dark, who knows who's gonna murder who?
No, this is the one time in 10 years that the eclipse gangs can finally come out and...
Have you seen The Purge? It's the new Purge movie.
Right.
Purge the Eclipse. Jeez.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little sidebar. Had to bring that up. All right. So then the rest of the Saints news, we'll have the draft. We'll have that first pick on Thursday. And then how many picks do we have on Friday, if any?
One.
One in the second round.
One on Friday.
We have one in the second round, and then we have about 8 picks on
Saturday.
Now,
there's a decent chance we'll trade back up into the third round with a couple of our fifths, I'm sure. They'll see somebody they like, and they'll move up and get them. So that's probably going to
happen. Yeah, as it stands at the moment, it's one pick on Friday.
Okay. One pick on... Right. Do you believe there's anything to these rumors that the Denver news media is starting about will the Saints trade Taysom Hill to the Broncos? Do you see the Saints using any players in addition to picks to make moves in the draft?
Is Taysom Hill going to return that much?
I mean, Peyton does love him. If he is going to return anything, it's to Denver, but I don't want to get rid of him.
I don't either.
So I hope they don't. But they probably just see all the former Saints, whether it be players, coaches, whoever, are now in Denver. So they're just assuming, they'll get somebody else from the Saints. But because he loves Taysom so much, and if they get to a point, because they don't have – what quarterback did they sign? Do they have a quarterback right now?
You talking about the Saints or
– No, I'm talking about Denver.
Denver.
Because Peyton was so desperate to turn Taysom into a quarterback. If they still don't have a quarterback on the roster, let's say they don't draft the guy next week, then do they get desperate and try to trade for Taysom to actually be their quarterback?
Jarrett Stidham is the only quarterback on the roster at the moment, I believe. Yeah. That's not a good quarterback room.
It's a terrible quarterback room, and it's going to be hilarious when they end up with J.J. McCarthy, who I really don't think is going to be that good.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty much nailed on that Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May are going to go 1, 2, 3. Caleb Williams is going to go number one, and then the other two are going to flip. Somebody is trading into 4 or 5 to draft J.J. McCarthy.
God,
If I was the Cardinals at four, I'd stay where I was and take one of the wide receivers. And maybe the Chargers trade out of five. But the Vikings have got they've got an additional pick in the first round to jump up because they need a quarterback. I've got a feeling that Denver are going to be bad again this year. The salary cap hell they've got from getting rid of Russell Wilson. They haven't got a quarterback. They've got rid of a load of their good players. They're going to want to go for a quarterback next year.
Okay, so then there would be your four. Minnesota would be your fourth quarterback, and then Penix will fall somewhere, I guess. I mean, if I had a choice between Penix and McCarthy, I would take Penix over McCarthy every day of the week.
Yeah, I keep seeing the Raiders being a team that might go for Penix.
Well, I hope all the teams, as many quarterbacks go ahead of the Saints as possible. That only benefits us.
I mean, if four quarterbacks are definitely going before we pick, but if a fifth can go before we pick, then somebody who we weren't expecting to drop is going to drop to 14.
And hopefully nobody trades up to 13 to steal them from us. Kansas City.
Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened to the Saints before, Jason?
I heard who that might have happened.
Who were we supposed to, who would we have drafted if that didn't happen? I can't remember.
I think it might have been a quarterback we were looking at.
But I don't think he's done anything in his career since he was drafted by the Chiefs. Don't think he's done anything.
I don't think it would have worked out for us.
Yeah.
Either way, Sean Payton probably still wouldn't. Yeah, he would have left the year. Fake retired and left.
Yeah.
That quarterback.
Yeah.
I still think it's funny because I forget that Pete Carmichael even went to Denver after we got rid of him. And that's hilarious. The more Sean Payton does pick up our sloppy seconds, the more pathetic it looks. And I almost think it tarnishes his legacy. Maybe Sean Payton wasn't, you've done the thing where it's all been Drew Brees anyway, but I don't know. Sean is just, maybe he's not as great as we thought he was.
He still gets credit. He should for turning the culture around. Yes. But in terms of the play on the field, it's looking more and more like Brees was just that damn good.
Right. Brees bailed him out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But you're right as about the culture.
Well, he had to. After the Katrina season.
But he's not.
Although you would say he turned around the culture, but now that he left, the Saints culture is back to what it was before.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. Oh boy.
I think you're right, Jason. I don't think he's as good a coach as people think he is. But he will, and my feelings on him quitting and walking away and all that kind of stuff. But, he'll always have credit for what he did just in one season.
Ambush.
Ambush
will never work again with the new rules. You have to tell the referee and they have to allow the other team to know that you're going to be doing it. You can't surprise onside kick anymore. Yeah. But you say all that, but it's also what he's doing. It's still too early to tell if it's going to work in Denver or if he's going to do something different or whatnot. But I could see where it was just the right thing at the right time. Right person, right thing, right time. We needed it. We were ready for it. Post-Katrina, Drew comes in, Reggie comes in. We were the organization, everybody, the city was ready for a non-Hazlitt and a change in change in standards.
And there was
the guy to do it, but that works. And that it might not work in Denver because it's not the same scenario, right? He's not going into an organization that's got a history of complacency.
Yeah.
Yeah, and corruption and a city that's been destroyed. This is a team with John Elway still involved, and there's a certain pedigree to the Denver Broncos. So his whole thing your shit's broken and I'm here to fix it. That's not going to work as much because they're going to be like, hold on, our shit ain't broken, okay?
Well, it was an interesting time because the whole city was galvanized, and the Saints coming back after not having him the year before, and the possibility that they would leave. So it was kind of the one thing that we loved, and we fought, and you know, first season ticket sellout in the history of the team. We rallied behind the team as the recovery went on. But then, too, you look at a lot of Super Bowl coaches who win Super Bowls, retire, and then go someplace else. A lot of times it doesn't work the second time.
Right.
You can only do it so much. Coaching is a young man's game. And I know Peyton's not really old, but you look at a lot of the successful coaches now, they're all younger. And there's some of that, too. Now, he didn't trade for and sign Russell Wilson. So that's not on him. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't, these Super Bowl winning coaches, it doesn't always, a lot of times it, yeah, it just does not work the second time. So there's, I think there's a lot of that too.
How many coaches have won the Super Bowl with two different teams?
Ooh. I don't know. I know Andy Reid has taken two teams,
but he didn't win the first
never
time.
Won with Philadelphia.
He never won with Philadelphia, did he?
No. I mean, that's a good question. Like Shanahan failed in Washington. Holmgren got to a Super Bowl in Seattle, but didn't win.
Yeah, that's a challenging question for you live on the pod.
I don't know that any coach has won a Super Bowl with two different teams. Maybe there is, and we're just blanking.
Nobody.
No so the head closest coach you could get, has so ever
Bill
won.
Bill Belichick has. He won, obviously, with the Patriots, I think. And then he won as the DC with the Giants.
There are five coaches that have been with two teams. Dick Vermeil, but Bill Parcells.
Or he's been with two, yeah.
Dan Reeves, Andy Reid, and Don Shula.
Shula.
None of them have won. None of them have won with the second team.
Yeah.
With the second? So that's interesting. So they all of them won.
I phrased that wrong. Sorry.
That was a British phrase.
You want to rephrase?
It was, yeah.
So
I think it's
whether they won with one or the other.
Right. No coach has won as a head coach twice with two different teams.
Well, how you like that, apples?
Yeah. See, so odds are Peyton will never win a Super Bowl in Denver.
Right. Or he'll be the first to do it. And his legacy is further cemented.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead with a no on that.
But it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is like if you look at.
I've got a question for you in a minute. Go on.
Okay. If you look at, so teams, when you get to the playoffs and you get that run into the tournament, and there is this, we live in a quarterback-driven league, offensive-driven league. It's kind of like if you don't have one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, you're not winning. Right? Like the last several years, name a lesser than top five quarterback who's been, much less won. Brock Purdy.
Nick Foles. That was a fluky season. I mean, you could go if so every once in a while.
I mean, to be fair though, Carson Wentz was having a near MVP season until he got injured that year for the Eagles.
And then Nick Foles had a near MVP follow. It was the system, maybe, but.
You can have it where the team's defense is just so good, like a la Trent Dilfer or somebody like that. I mean, would you count?
It's so rare. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, people are like again. If
Joe Flacco? Back to...
Yeah. I mean,
He had a great run in the playoffs, but you wouldn't consider him a top five quarterback at the time.
That year, it was Flacco against Kaepernick, wasn't it, in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So in order to get there with a mediocre quarterback, you have to have an elite offense and or defense.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. We don't have any of the, we don't have any option. We don't have the, we have a mid-tier quarterback. We have a mid-tier offense and we have a mid-tier defense, maybe an upper tier defense.
It's trending back to the mid.
Is elite.
It was elite 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm going into 2024. Like, so give me a reason to believe. Yeah. Even with these draft picks, draft picks are draft picks. They're not saviors unless they're Reggie Bush. It's like, I don't want to be Debbie Downer around here, but I feel like I kind of am where what's there to look forward to?
We could win the division. We could win the division. We could.
That's like,
you know, with the division, with the division we're in, it's not out of the question.
That's like, I'm gonna,
Jason looks like he doesn't.
I'm gonna
agree
give
with
you. We're gonna go to a restaurant that serves a, you know, 7-course meal, but you're just gonna be able to have like the soup and salad.
But is it a good soup and salad?
The breadsticks are to die for.
Oh, they are. I just don't have a lot of.
So faith. Olive Garden. We're going to Olive Garden.
I guess you could say, I mean, the good news is I don't have real expectations or aspirations this year. So when they do go 7-10, it's not going to be the worst thing because I've already kind of accepted it. I'm not expecting anything more. If they surprise me, hey, great. That could be fun.
I mean, I am excited. I will say, yeah, like what I'm excited about is the offense because it's not the same offense. It won't be the same offense. And like somebody made a comment again, I don't know if it was one of y'all in the last couple of episodes or if it was something else I was reading and that well, had nothing to do with us, but somebody or a comment that a fan was making about, well, you know, the Saints all, it doesn't matter what we do because our offense is going, like they're referring back to where they're referring to our offense as though these new guys are going to come in and just run it back to the Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael playbooks. And that's not what's going to happen. They're coming in with like a brand new offense, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there may be some things they keep from.
Well, certain plays exist in every offense. That. Sure.
But fundamentally, the offensive scheme and system is going to change. Yeah.
Right. So what was your question that you were going to ask?
Yeah, we've kind of got off that topic now, so it would be weird going back.
Maybe save it for the draft show?
It was a question about Sean Payton, but we've gone past that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll save it for another time.
Okay.
All right, in fact, then. I'll save it for the week before we play Denver next season, and then I'll ask it.
There you go.
Yeah. For when we bring Sean as a guest.
Yeah.
I'll ask him the question I was going to ask you. I'll just ask it straight to him.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
What gives you the right?
Yes.
Who do you think you are? The other direction I was going to go in, getting back to the draft as we start to wrap this episode up, is I want to talk a little bit about Caleb Williams. Maybe we can, you know, I'll save most of it for the draft night live stream party. But I think my spoiler alert is I think this dude's I think he's messed up in the head. Like, I think he's a mental case. And I am laughing at the fact that the Bears are going to go all in and are refusing to, like, they believe he's the savior. I think this guy is going to truly leave the NFL due to some serious mental health issues. And I'm saying, like, with all due respect, like, I actually think there are serious mental health issues with him. I mean, for one, he's a flat earther.
I don't believe.
Actually, I think he said he doesn't believe in planets and all that stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't believe he is as good as people think he is. Or he's not going to be as good as people think he's going to be.
Yeah. Definitely, they're going to put too much pressure on him. I mean, all of it. And he's not going to live up to those. But honestly, I think no matter how good he is, doesn't matter because he doesn't. I don't know. Yeah.
2 years ago, he looked like he was going to be the next great thing to come out of college as a quarterback. But last year, he did not have as good a season. I mean, we all know who won the Heisman last year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be the best quarterback that comes out of this draft. I mean, he might be. But you wouldn't say it was guaranteed, would you? You wouldn't say that Jaden Daniels is definitely going to be the best quarterback to come out of this draft. But yeah, Caleb Williams, not. I don't think he's the. I don't think he's the player that everybody thinks he's going to be. And Chicago may regret it in 3 years' time.
His dad. I mean, do you have one of those? Who was the NBA player whose dad? Is it?
Lonzo Ball.
Mello, yeah, Lonzo, yeah, like where his dad's already reached out to agents to see if they could get a minority ownership in whatever team drafts him. I don't think he's quite as, now you're going to get his dad's baggage, right? You're going to get that. I think he's just going to be a distraction. I think he's not going to be able to focus on the field as much because there's too many distractions off the field.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure he's as crazy as Lonzo Ball's dad is.
But I do. I want Keenan to do impressions of him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I missed that.
I mean, he opted not to share his medical information to the teams this year. He's showing to be difficult.
Kind of like a Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's too many red flags for me. If I'm making the decision for a team, I think the cons outweigh the pros in this, the potential pros in this case. Like, there are known issues that you're going to have to deal with. And you have an unknown of if he's going to be able to translate his talents over to the NFL.
Well, the Bears aren't known for having successful quarterbacks.
I can't wait. I'm going to love it.
He's never had a quarterback throw for over 4,000 yards in a season.
It's crazy.
Never.
It's a crazy stat.
Speaking of, they were a team that went and won a Super Bowl with an elite defense and a not elite quarterback.
Yeah, but that defense was like the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they were. I mean, again, going, it's reinforcing that they've never had a great quarterback.
Right. McMahon was steady.
Yeah, steady.
And he was also completely unhinged.
Derek Carr steady. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their quarterback wore sunglasses indoors.
And then they also had Walter Payton too. So I mean, they had everything but the quarterback. That's just how good they were.
Yep. Do we have that?
We don't have a lot of things.
We about to.
Did you just ask if the Saints have a player comparable to Walter Payton in the backfield? Let me think about that for a second. I mean, Jamal Williams showed some glimpses last year.
Kendre Miller's got so much untapped potential.
That 1 yard run in garbage time against the Falcons gave me real hope that Jamal Williams might turn into Walter Payton.
Look, it was a stepping stone. It was like trying to get momentum at the end of the season that'll transfer over into this season.
Yep.
He ended on a positive note, on the upswing, you would say.
There you go.
Well, he couldn't have ended it any lower than he was, could he?
Oh, yeah.
Only way to go but up. All right. Let's jump into some final thoughts while we wrap this one up.
All right. Before my final thought, Jeff, I have one question for you.
So a final question.
Well, I have a final thought after. This is like an intermediate question. What did you do upstairs that forced you to spill a bunch of your, I'm assuming you spilled it or you did something. The entire upstairs of my house smells like cologne.
I didn't have cologne.
There's something up there that was not there before the weekend y'all were here. And I don't think it's a air freshener. It smells like you just doused the room in cologne.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it smell like a man's cologne or
Yes. Yes.
Huh. I didn't have cologne, so that's interesting. Could it be deodorant? Could I have maybe spilled deodorant?
How do you spill deodorant? It's a stick.
Well, I don't. Maybe a stick fell off. Maybe I left. Maybe I painted the walls with it.
Oh my god! If I turn on a black light, oh no, I'm not gonna turn on a black light.
Oh no! I'm very curious. That. I wish there was a way you can like send me the smell.
Right, like the smellerizer or whatever you want to call it.
I'll have to ask Andrea. Maybe if she had something.
I mean, it still smells, and this is a week and a half later. Huh. So there's something going
just
on.
How drunk were you, Jeff?
I don't think we were drunk, were we?
No, we just took a sign.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. I was too drunk.
Yeah, he was too drunk. So then I get, just.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna have to think back on that. I can't imagine. Because
it definitely still smells like cologne.
Can you like sniff the room and find out like where exactly the smell, like where's the,
it's everywhere.
What's the source? It's everywhere, but if I had to choose.
To choose.
So the molecules are everywhere. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's so played a trick on you and left something in your air conditioning unit.
Well, it's better than leaving a stink bomb.
Or a dead fish.
At least it smells good.
I mean, but it gets overbearing after a while. It's not, you know. It's like heavy. It's like a 17-year-old dousing himself with cologne when he overdoes it. You know, he goes too much cologne. It's pretty overpowering.
No, I didn't have cologne.
A friend of mine. Somebody did.
That is interesting. I want to smell it. Can you put it in a bottle? Trap it in a bottle and save it?
It's called cologne. So,
Dome Patrol edit note. After further investigation, we found out that it was a plug-in smelly good thing that Jason's wife had put in the wall. So, case solved.
All right, so that was my intermediate question. My final thought is, so tonight I'm about to head to the arena, Smoothie King Center, for the play-in game. The Pels are back in the play-in. Yeah, 6:30, a little over an hour, play the Lakers again.
Well, we're going to wrap this up.
Well, Renee's not home yet. We're going. I'm waiting for her. But, yeah, I didn't go this past Sunday. Nope. Mike and Dan were in town, and it's weird. It's like I kind of feel bad. Like, they had never been to a game before. It's like, oh, you guys can use my tickets, go to the game. And it was their first ever game, and it was one of the worst performances that we've had. And that's one thing the Pelicans have done. And they had just come off a four-game winning streak. They just needed one win to clinch the sixth seed and avoid the play-in. And they basically got their asses kicked. And they've done that a lot, where they're finally starting to get some hype behind them. They go into a big matchup, and they just shit the bed. So if at the beginning of the season you told me we were going to win 49 games, I'd have taken it in a heartbeat.
Jeez, they've been the three seed in the East.
Yeah, it's just the West was just a fucking bloodbath this year. It's just like bad, dumb luck. And yeah, you can look at – there are plenty of games that the Pelicans lost that they should have won to avoid this, and they didn't. But at the end of the day, they improved by 6 or 7 wins from last year, and they had their second most successful season since coming to New Orleans.
The top 10 teams in the West all finished 10 games above 500.
First time that's ever happened.
That is an unbelievable statistic.
It's just absurd. Again, it's just.
And am I right in thinking the gap between the one seed and who finished 10th was just 10 games?
That 10
games
about right.
Back, weren't they?
Yeah.
All right, James, final thought?
I mean, look, I know Wesley's the big UFC fan from the group, but if you haven't had a chance to watch the ending to the Max Holloway fight at the weekend, where he knocked out the other guy with 1 second left in the fight. Put him to sleep with 1 second left. Absolutely unreal. All the fights on the card were really, really good. So that's 2 weekends in a row there's been good. I mean, I say fighting. Wrestling's not really the same, is it? Not really the same. WrestleMania last week and then UFC 300 this week has been pretty good for your combat sports, shall we say. Let's go there. Let's go down that route.
Combat sport.
Let's go down
like
that route. Combat sport, yeah.
Also, I was looking on Twitter and saw that, James, you were a month ago a guest on The Saints, The City, and Me.
I was?
Yeah, talking free agency, U.S. road trips, U.K., Saints community, marshmallows on sweet potatoes for Christmas.
Yep.
So I think, obviously, the biggest thing is if I didn't listen to that episode, what's your position on marshmallows on sweet potatoes for Christmas?
I loved it.
I agree.
No, I loved it. But the guys, Dan and Mike, who do that podcast, they were just like, what the fuck is that?
It's delicious, is what it is.
It's delicious.
It came from that they were asking me about the times I visited Louisiana. And I said, well, the last time I went was for Christmas. And they said, oh, so how was Christmas? So I was explaining it's a bit different to the UK. And I said,
every season the food
on the top of sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And that's how that whole conversation came about. Yeah, that's how that whole conversation came about.
Very good. So, quick poll, pineapple on pizza? Yes, no?
No way.
Yeah,
no,
not really.
Way.
It's good. Nope. Pineapple, pepperoni, and jalapenos. Not... You get a little bit of that sweet and spicy going. Very good.
It's not that I wouldn't.
No.
It's not that I wouldn't eat it. I just wouldn't order it. It's not when I go to get my pizza.
I ordered it. Would you taste it? I
mean, it sounds like a trick question, but no.
I mean, what if I douse it with cologne?
Pizzas are meant for meat and cheese. That's it.
All right. That's fair. I mean, everybody gets
them. No, little mushrooms never hurt anybody.
So, and onion and mushroom. There you go. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Banana peppers.
No olives.
Oh, no, olives
can fuck right off.
Yes, olives can fuck right off.
Oh, olives are good too.
Oh, no, they're not. They're the worst.
No. Mushy, salty crap.
They literally might be the worst. Tastes like drinking salt water.
Don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you.
That's Jason yelling at olives. You son of a bitch.
Oh, I like that.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on all socials. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. Make sure that you're paying attention for the draft. If you're on Facebook, we're going to try and do Facebook and YouTube at the same time, but the default will be Facebook. So just be online. Obviously, you'll get the alert if you follow us already that we're live. Otherwise, just go to facebook.com/Dome Patrol podcast. In the meantime, don't forget to push all the right buttons on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating, comment, set up auto-download so you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, sexy donkeys.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.